Hello everyone, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. So welcome joining today's call. Could you hear me?
I can. Good morning, good evening.
Thanks, Kevin. So let me start sharing. All right, oh, I hope you can see my screen now. So this is the agenda of today's call from my perspective. So basically first, I would like to have a introduction or review of the model phrase status. And let's discuss what we are going to do before the model stable. So any suggestion for the agenda here? If no, then we start from the first bullet. I don't know if you all of you have noticed the two wiki pages I listed here. So thanks for Kevin and Jesse's hard work for doing the papyrus work of the WinFD and also the NSD model. They have prepared the Gen Doc and get them on the wiki page for review. So if you have not noticed them, please you can look at the today's agenda and look for those links and check the status. So Kevin, could you spend a few minutes briefly introduce this page?
Sure. And you can either click on it or I can present, whatever you prefer.
Actually, both are okay for me. So I will let you share.
Okay. Okay, I'm sure you don't want to see my email. So as feel free, Shu, to rename this or whatever, but the message I was trying to indicate is this is a papyrus-based output. And in this output, you will find several things. One, hopefully, you will find an appropriate capture of the R2 clean. After the R2 clean was established, you may recall some clarifications were made, some things that were called classes were changed to data types, so that was captured as well. Something else that is also in the following is an R3-based contribution for VNF and VNFC instance classes. In other words, in R2, it was only the design time side, the descriptors. So this is some work that a number of people were involved in within AT&T on the instant side, combination of things already in ANAI and based on that, how we think it should rather be. So it's just two classes, the VNF instance and the VNFC instance. We are also doing some work presently on virtual links and connection points, but we're just not quite ready with that. Also, you may remember Alex Vohl had made a proposal to make a number of both classes and attributes and tag them as obsolete. So you'll see that as well. I believe what we've talked about before is are things that were in R2 that we had not changed, that they would progress to preliminary in terms of Asami stereotypes, new items, then, you know, things that were we've posed and presumably agreed to would be tagged as experimental. And I think that speaks to first experimental, no changes, next release, preliminary, no changes, next release. I don't remember. Is it mature, Shu? At any rate, so then we have some diagrams. So some of these diagrams are basically a depiction of the relationships and stuff that were designated just in, you know, the wiki tables in release two. So there's a couple of diagrams of that, a topology view, a VNFD view. The VNF instance side, so that we kind of talked about this. The reason you see some things that are tagged as faulty, I wasn't, you know, maybe there's a better way to do that, but in release two, there was a VNF and a VNFC instance table. And so what we were highlighting is these were in that table, they were not accepted, but the suggestion is to pull them out. And if you go to the release two wiki, you see comments as to why that was being recommended. Then a VNF flavor, deployment flavor. So again, that along with the topology and the VNFD view, I think largely captures a pictorial view of all the relationships as described in R2. Kind of following a little bit of the Etsy style, also made a diagram that just contained all those data types. So there was a pictorial view. And after that, and this is pretty much a GenDoc output that has just been copied and dropped into the wiki. And as you can see, it drops in pretty well. So after that, it's just a whole bunch of the various classes followed by data types, the definitions. Shu, I know that you took a look at it over the weekend, and I appreciate your, a second set of eyes to look at this is greatly appreciated. I'll take a look at your comments and make updates and or some replies. I hope within today or early tomorrow.
So a couple of questions, guys. One. How do we, if we're going to use this as the final draft, how do we indicate in here whether or not things are going to be deprecated or whatever the appropriate term is?
So the answer I would give to that is, if you gave me an example of something we could find quickly, what you will see is the stereotype. I think what we agreed to there are things that you had tagged, Alex, as deprecated. We were going to make them obsolete. So whether it's at an attribute level or at a...
look for resource additional attributes or something like that.
So basically, Alex, you can see there's a stereotype column in the table. And basically, you can see mostly a preliminary there. And for those that you propose to be deprecated, it will be obsolete at that place instead of preliminary.
Okay. Gotcha. And my second question, I looked at, I spent a bunch of time looking at the latest versions of IFA and SOL specifications. And the question I have is this. There was a change made in the IFA spec with respect to how storage is being handled. We're talking about ephemeral storage. The storage class that we had was kind of split into three, one for block, one for raw, one for image, I think. That change did not really make it into the latest version, which is .9 of the SOL spec. So is this final or clean draft is based on the latest version of, I think it's 2.4.5 is the version. Is this what we're basing this on?
This was based on, in my simple view, and I don't know when you had when you joined the call, Alex. But this is basically based on release two.
Okay.
And then the updates that you had proposed, as I said, we settled on obsolete to tag those. And please go in and verify. And then the things that, you know, using the Asami stereotypes, and I see Jesse has joined. But you know, release two, they were, we would say they were experimental. If they haven't changed, okay, they get promoted to preliminary in this release.
Okay, just wanted to make sure we weren't running too far ahead with this.
Yeah, so I think with your question, my simple thought would be, when we're ready to upgrade, you know, to whatever within Etsy, that just needs to be captured. You know, maybe it's handled in the next major release. Maybe it's handled, quote unquote, as the bug fix. But that's not represented here.
Got it. Understood.
Jesse, any comments on that, or was that fair?
Oh, on the stereotypes, you mean?
Well, just on both the handling of stereotypes as well as upgrades applied per the latest version of Etsy, and what was done, not done, or what's planned.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. The only one I kind of think is not really correct is the ones you marked as faulty, because they're not faulty.
Yeah, and I kind of highlighted that basically those were things that was in release two, and I was just trying to find a way to say where it was never agreed to, but I was finding a way to highlight this is what we plan to do with what was there. But so rather than just deleting it, I wanted to highlight it's going away.
So you're saying those were things that were there that we're taking out?
They were there in the release too, but never approved, never made clean.
So then I would say take them out. I think it's really incorrect to mark them as faulty.
And maybe what we could do, if you all agree, is once this is accepted, then we can just turn around and delete them. But I just wanted to show traceability rather than just showing it disappeared, show that we're planning to take it out.
Yeah, because faulty means we had it in and there was a problem with it. And
sure.
It's another thing I have is that, you know, now that we look at the resource IAM clean version, we've got all these things. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the only thing that should be marked as clean. And it's marked as draft.
The reason I tagged it as a draft, and maybe this is an error on my part, this is what I think we agreed to, but as a team, yeah, I wasn't sure what the process was. I assume maybe everybody reviews it. She was already giving me some comments, and I didn't want to say, this is clean, we've all agreed to it. This is a draft of what I think we've agreed to.
That's okay. It's just that I think I saw it as replacing the other ONAP R3 resource design time model clean version. It's going to get really confusing to somebody who doesn't know what's what.
What I would do is just basically say resource 3 clean, whatever, the same title, and then in parentheses say final draft. And we all know what this means. We remove final draft after all the people on the call who are involved actually get a chance to look at it and say, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, no, I was just saying to remove those other pages because they're not clean.
Okay, that's a different story. Okay, I misunderstood.
I will update this to final draft. I'll leave you to comment on deleting other pages.
Yeah, I guess we can discuss it later. I see Sin has raised hand, so I would like him to ask question first, and then we discuss about how we proceed with the claim.
Yes, thanks, Sue. So Kevin, as you recall, in the R2, we have kind of like a two color codes. One is the black font color codes. That's mainly came from the Etsy IFA 11, and then we have orange, where we meaning ONAP, either add or modified it, that attribute. How we can differentiate in this new papyrus documents and the diagrams.
So
do you maintain that color code, or you come up with a different scheme?
I hope I maintain the color code, because you can see some things that are in that kind of goldish color. And again, that there was an incredible amount of detail to pull in. So did I do a perfect job of that? I'm not sure, but I did attempt to keep gold for things that were added.
Okay. So that's on the picture, because on my screen it's really, really small. You can't tell if it's a color or not.
Okay. Let's see if I can make that a little bigger here.
And I assume that's also same for the output of the Word document, right?
So this is the output of the Word document that is basically was just dropped into the wiki. Now, I believe once you get into the tables, it did not carry any of the coloring on the diagram. So it would only be represented on the diagram as gold.
Maybe what we could do is come up with a very simple keyword or statement in the description or comment, where we can just put it on tag any of the attributes that either modify or add new. That will help if we ever want to sync back to Etsy. Then we can trace it. Otherwise, people will get really confused later on of two incompatible models, and it would requires someone have to go through line by line to match it. You know what I'm saying? It's just the color code that we have. We just come up with a new keyword in the comment or the description columns.
I think what you're asking is for us to propose some means to highlight extensions or deviations from Etsy in the actual definition itself. And I think that's reasonable. Jesse, maybe we can puzzle over that and come back with a proposal, whether it's a bit of text in a definition or some sort of a stereotype designation or something.
Thanks.
All right. Any other comments?
I have a comment to Jesse. It's about 2 weeks ago or less. We had a discussion of trying to bring up to 245 Etsy IFA 245.
Yes.
Is that a different wiki page that you are creating, or you and Kevin doing, or it's overlapped somehow?
So Shu had not wanted that to go into the frozen model, because so there's a separate wiki page under IM discussion.
I see.
Right, the plan is we discuss that before the model final milestone. And let's see if we can try to achieve as much consensus as possible before that and move into it.
So we would discuss that as kind of like a bug fix, and then right. We move one at a time. Okay, thank you.
That's my suggestion. So, okay, if no more comments, let's discuss how we proceed with this clean page. The question I would like to ask you is, first, do you guys need more time to review this page, or you are feel comfortable that we use this page as clean?
I'd like to have a look, to be honest. I haven't had a chance to really look at it yet. I just want to make sure we capture, in a reasonable way, all the changes that we have discussed before.
Okay, no problem. Then the second question is, how long do we need to review this? 1 week? Is 1 week enough?
For me, yes. I'm not sure if others are going to be looking at it as well. And what, you know, what they need.
That's fine.
Okay. So let's have 1 week review of this page, and you can send comments to Kevin or to the mailing list, or also leaving comments on the wiki page.
I would encourage people to put comments on the wiki page simply because for a traceability point of view.
Okay.
It's all in one place instead of being three or four places, and maybe some of them are seen by everyone and other ones aren't. And
so let's have 1 week review, and please leave your comments on the wiki page. Okay, so regarding to Jess's question, I think once we agreed on this page, we will replace the content of the current clean page, or simply remove the current clean page and using the page that Kevin had just shown as our clean page for release 3. Is that okay? Acceptable to all.
Certainly works for me.
Okay.
Can we also remove network service and WAN connection? Remove them to discussion, or?
I was about to ask you to represent to present that model first. And let's do the same for the network service descriptor as the WinFD model Kevin just showed. So could you have a brief introduction of the NANSD
sure.
draft? Yeah.
Let me share my screen.
Yes, please.
Okay, I have this picture in another tab, much bigger, so we can take a look at it. But so this is the proposed network service descriptor model. There had been a proposal earlier on by TUI, which was kind of mixing up network service and network service descriptor. I wanted to only put in the design the network service descriptor. This here is based on IFA 14 and IFA 15. I didn't update it to 251. It's only based on 243 right now. The important thing in this picture, I'll try to show a bigger version. I don't know if people can see this.
I'm sorry to interrupt. For the record, I don't think there is a version 251. I think the latest version of IFA we have is 245.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just, but 245 is supposed to go out as 251.
Okay.
So I'm just showing that I didn't update it yet. That was the important message there. I don't know if people can see this any better, but it's the picture enlarged a little bit. The important thing is that this network service descriptor really ties together the VNFD and the PNFD. And if we're going to be publishing the PNFD, I really think it's important that we at least include this network service descriptor here. Now, the network service, this is a basic view that comes out of IFA 14, which also includes the network service deployment flavor, the SAP service access point descriptor, network service virtual link descriptor. And I don't know why this is in the network service model in IFA, but they have the VNF forwarding graph descriptor in there. I'm not sure why that didn't go into the VNF part of the model. Does anyone know?
I would imagine the granularity of a VNF forwarding graph is at the VNF level. So if a network service is composed of multiple VNFs, you need to have a forwarding graph.
Okay. So you think it's okay that it was in the network service part of the model?
I think so.
Okay. I didn't know why they had actually put it there. Thank you, Alex. That's a good description. So what is being proposed here is this high-level model here, as I said, as it comes out of IFA 14 and then IFA 15, which is the papyrus model from Etsy. And then in the same vein as Kevin was showing, so for all those classes, you have the actual definitions. I didn't actually put in all the stereotypes, I put in some of them. So for example, since this is new, I put it in as experimental here. And so you have the network service descriptor.
Jesse, is the type NDS, is that a typo or is that really what we're calling it?
Which one?
Right in the middle of the screen, you have NDS, network service descriptor. Is that a typo?
Oh, yes, excuse me, that's a typo, totally.
You scared me, okay.
Yeah, no, that's, thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, because when I did the copy paste from GenDoc, these were headings and I typed them out myself. So I will change that. So basically on the page, what you have are the descriptions of all those classes. What we do in the convention in Papyrus is we put an underscore for something that's a member end of an association. So if you look back again at the picture here, here's an association between the network service descriptor and the SAPD. And that comes across as an underscore SAPD in Papyrus, so that we know that's the end of an association and it's pointing to a SAPD. And there's zero to the star that represents this right here. So that's how we have the convention we've used for representing these associations. Whereas in Etsy, they would call this SAPD instead of underscore SAPD. So it's just for us to be able to delineate those attributes that are just regular attributes and those that are ends of an association. So from that diagram we saw, that's why you get all these underscores here, the NSD that's pointing to the different things. Another thing I want to point out is this NSD contains NSDs. This is not the atomic composite pattern here. This is recursion. So Etsy does not use the composite atomic pattern, just to point that out.
So I'm confused. Are we talking about the agreed upon final version of the network service descriptor and we removed the atomic composite from it, or are we talking about an alternative encoding or representation rather that is yet to be discussed and agreed upon? What is this?
So if you look at the other other things that were proposed here. So for example, where was it? I think it was an input. Chewy had done a papyrus, this is input now, papyrus diagram for network service. And she had called it network service. Oops, I'll get rid of this. But she had put in network service descriptor. So this is the only thing we've seen for the network service descriptor. And as I said, it was a mixing of the design and the deployment. These are deployment NS Virtual Link, whereas in my diagram, it's an NS Virtual Link descriptor. The other thing we've seen is, where are we? We'd seen something called network service. I don't even know who did this. And this is, I guess, based on what it looks very similar to what Chewy had done. There's a network service descriptor, service component descriptor. That was from release 2. I think they even took out service component. So that's why I said this shouldn't be in clean. This was never agreed upon. What I'm showing you today is in discussion right now, so it's not even on the clean, but it was proposed to go into clean. And it's, again, what's based on IFA versus this. I'm not sure what this was based on.
Well, maybe I need to get some explanation here. So the network service on descriptor model was discussed in the service interest group in release 2. And I guess at the end of release 2 or earlier release 3, it suggested that the network service should be part of the resource information model other than the service. So basically this page is moved from the service information model interest group into the resource information model interest group workspace. So that's what you have seen here on this wiki page is what they have agreed in release 2 for the network service models.
So if you look at it, first of all, they shouldn't be defining VNFD because we're defining that. And secondly, the NSD is not related to a, this is a problem when you don't have class diagrams. The NSD is not associated to an NS virtual link, it's associated to an NS virtual link descriptor.
Oh, yes, I think you're right.
So I'm not sure what they're trying to show here, and this would be in a descriptor also, and it's a misnomer to call it network service. They're actually, I guess, trying to do network service descriptors.
Well, I think Mopon is also online. Mopon, are you here?
Hello. Sorry, I'm on the driving. I think this network service is a network service information model, and the network service descriptor is only the network service node. This is a postcard node. It's the node information, and then there is I think the link, and the WinF, I think it's referred to the already defined in the resources. That already have the WinF. So I don't.
But you can see, so you have taken the Etsy descriptions here. It's related to a SAPD. It's related to a virtual link descriptor. So the relationships aren't in line with what was described of the different classes chosen. So, as I say, without a class diagram, I'm not sure what the relationships are between these things. That's why I'm proposing we replace that with this, which clearly shows the relationships between these classes, now, particularly now that we have the PNFD.
Jesse, I think you see you want to, I already put a UML diagram in that page, maybe in the down in the discussion, and if you put the alpha published UML diagram, I'm also okay with that. But your diagram, I say maybe because in the release 2 we have agreed for some example some VNFFG or some other NS deploy flavor we have not discussed. So we should discuss and
that would be okay. Fine. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I think the basic requirement for the network service described, as I know, the network service should include the PNF and the virtual link between the PNF, WinF, and the virtual link between the WinF. And also, if we consider the 5G use case, we should consider the PNF and the PNF's link between them. So for the use case or the requirement. So if we have some real case or requirement about that, we can add that. It should be fine to describe all the functions.
Yeah, so At a minimum, I think we need to have NSD and the VNFD and the PNFD and the virtual link descriptor. You know, we can take out the NS deployment flavor if we're not ready to put that in, or the SAPD, which maybe we don't want to put that in. I just wanted to show the picture as Etsy shows it so that people could see it, and then we can remove things if we want to remove them.
Yes, I think because in the runtime or the design time, if we want to plan to do that, we should, as my part, we should do it step by step. Because on the data model, I have already present the network service described to Anatomic and identify the consensus. So I think we need more time to discuss with the data model. Also, in the information model, I think we can first step, we can add the some real elements or models we need, and then we can add more complex, such as the two-class level or the forwarding graph. This is my suggestion.
I'm sorry, so what are you suggesting?
I suggest that we first add the WinF and the virtual link between the WinF and the PF in the PF and the recomposed the network service. This is the first step. It's my suggestion. And then we can, if we have the more requirements about the network service deployed layer or the WinF forwarding graph, we can, because now in the community there are no piece or no requirements about that. So I think those elements can discuss in later works.
Since we've mentioned runtime, and this might not be a good time to ask it, but I'd like sometime if we could address what is the runtime behavior we're looking ONAP to perform against a network service. When, since this is a resource modeling call, when I think of a resource in ONAP, I think of something which is decomposed from the service and which ONAP makes assignments for through interactions with a controller. Something which ONAP creates through an interaction with something, and something which ONAP configures through a NetConf API or such. Is that what we're looking for ONAP to do for these network services, or something else?
We have seen a will consume as a runtime will consume the network service, and in the internal model we have seen they have network service.
So what is the configuration that we want ONAP to perform for a network service, or do network services not, or are they not configured? Is it the deployment configuration which takes place through a VNF manager, the deployment data only? Is that what's configured for a network service, or is it the application level configuration?
I think that this is not in the application level. It is NFV orchestration, NFVO in the alpha. The NFVO will consume the network service. It is something like a resource composite.
So I've got a set of VNFs which comprise the network service. I'm not going to provide application level configuration of those through the network service. Does that mean that those? You can't hear me. I think you seem to be breaking up. Is anybody else? Am I breaking up or?
I'm hearing you just fine, Gil.
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay. So I can repeat it. Let me try repeating it. So there is a collection of VNFs which comprise this network service, and ONAP is not going to configure their application characteristics through the network service. So in other words, the network service itself won't describe the application level configuration needed for those VNFs. Is there assumed to be a higher order service that these VNFs are also part of that would have the application level configuration information associated with it? Or are we saying that because these VNFs are part of a network service, we ONAP itself doesn't need to configure their application at all? Something else outside of ONAP is going to configure them. Did the question make sense?
I think the current VoLTE use case is we have a higher level service which is composed of two network services. And the high-level service is managed by the service orchestrator, while the two network services are managed by VFC.
Does the higher order how would that work? Does the higher order service know which subset of its application data goes to VNF1 versus VNF2? Or does it just know which subset of data goes to network service 1 versus network service 2? Because it sounds like network service 1 and network service 2 don't know anything about the application level data at all.
I'm not sure if they include application level configuration in the use case now. But the hierarchy is we have a higher order service which is composed of two network services. As resources.
I think the network series is mainly focused on the resource. It's to, for example, we deploy the resources, not the application data. Application data, I think, in the alpha or in the alpha architecture, it's not the scope of the network series. It's mainly about the management, element management, or the OSS domain. They concern the service or the application configuration or FCAPs in that domain. This is not the manner domain.
So this is where I get totally very confused, right? So if I think of an ONAP service, a lower level ONAP service, which is comprised of VNFs, and then a higher order ONAP service, which is comprised of ONAP services itself, then I know how configuration of the application would work. You'd have the higher order app service would know, well, I've got a certain set of application data that I need to configure. And I need to hand off the proper subset of that application data to the things below me, which in this case is an ONAP service, a collection of ONAP services. From that higher order ONAP services perspective, those lower order network services are, for all effects and purposes, network functions. It's the responsibility of the lower level network service, the lower level ONAP service, to decide how to take its collection of application data and allocate it to the individual VNFs that it manages. And so it knows, I take these application parameters and I send them down to this VNF across this NetConf API, having done these data transformations or whatever else, and repeat for each VNF. If the lower order thing is a network service and doesn't understand application at all, I don't know how that works. Do I have these VNFs that are part of two services? Go ahead.
I think in my mind that is a true way to manage the results and the application config in the service level. For example, maybe we can deploy a network service in the result, but those network service can provide many applications or many services one network service can provide the results. Those results can provide many network functions or many services.
Many network functions.
You can configure on one network service. It just manages the results that consume in the for example, for many CPU or for many.
Many network function types or many network function instances. Are you saying a single network service can provide many network function types or many network function instances?
This is the definition. I think maybe they can both, because in some scenario we can provide one network service or this is the resource. We can provide different network functions instance or different types, maybe two, maybe one.
So the interesting
because
thing
we
is
can
what
do
you're...
config. We can do config. You can config on the resources, and they can provide the application there, services or some functions.
So when you describe it, in some ways, it sounds like what we the AT&T, the Ecomp folks have called a lotted resource. From an AT&T's Ecomp, a lotted resource perspective, whatever we want to call it, an allotted resource is provided by a providing service, and a providing service can produce many different types of network function types or network function instances, and we call those network functions a lot of resources. But their application constructs.
Okay, so may I interrupt for a second? I mean, we were talking about the network service descriptor model. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're going off on a tangent, and I'd really like to know what we're going to do with this model.
Well, the question is, what do we want? Why are we modeling it? What is the runtime behavior we want from ONAP? We should be able to say, you know, why we're modeling something. What is
this is not a runtime model. This is a design model.
But isn't the design model in service of the runtime? Isn't the reason we're modeling anything at all to get some certain runtime behavior out of the system?
Yes, granted it is. But we're talking about network service descriptors, and it feels like you're going off into network services.
I assume, Gil, part of what you're asking is, you know, first of all, this is a network service. The network service is in the resource, and when it comes to standing things up at the end of the day, what does this do for us?
Right. I mean, if somebody said, here's a pizza oven descriptor, I'd ask, well, why are we onboarding pizza oven descriptors into ONAP? What is it we want ONAP to do with pizza ovens? Services. What is it we want ONAP to do with network services that is causing us to want to onboard network service descriptors?
So keep in mind, I guess this was already in release 2. I'm just pointing out that it was in release 2 incorrectly.
But it wasn't clean in release 2, was it, Jesse?
I thought Shu said it was. Shu?
I think it's in the release 2 clean of the service information model.
Yeah, so I'm just pointing out that it was in there incorrectly defined.
Yeah. I didn't recall us agreeing to it, but.
And are we actually onboarding the NS descriptor? Is that the goal, or are we just defining a model that SDC would produce?
Okay, I think we have two things we need to kind of tease apart here, so let me try. So one, in the Etsy context, this is a single network service descriptor definition that applies across the design time and the runtime. And that's what we're kind of talking about here from the onboarding perspective or from that point of view. This may or may not reflect accurately the runtime internal ONAP model, but I think the intent is that in the long run, some providers would not just provide VNFs, but also provide provide network services composed of multiple VNFs, because these things are fairly complicated. So again, I think what we have here is a clash of ideologies. There is the ETSI ideology as expressed in this model. And then there is the ONAP ideology, which is a little bit different.
Well, in the ETSI ideology, there is an assumption that the thing that is executing the network service isn't managing its application. There is something else outside of the scope of ETSI that is doing the application level configuration, and that's not specified by ETSI. So I'm wondering, is ONAP supposed to be doing that thing that is not specified in ETSI and filling in the gaps where ETSI leaves off? And if so, what is that? What is the proposal by onboarding this network service descriptor? I'm thinking we want ONAP to fill in a gap that ETSI doesn't specify. And if so, what is that gap? What is it that ONAP is supposed to be doing? And how does ONAP model the rest of the story that ETSI doesn't describe, the application level stuff?
Well, can I jump in? That's a separate. I don't ONAP's the application configuration or management. It's up to the specific use case. Okay.
No, it's model driven. It's model driven. Yes. ONAP has a single model driven approach for configuring and managing any application. I think, isn't it? I mean, are you thinking then that ONAP has custom purpose built application logic for each application?
I don't know. That's the same question I would ask, that you've been asking, that I would like to know the answer also.
I think the answer is yeah. I mean, so at least I thought the goal was for ONAP to have model driven behavior for everything it does, including application level configuration.
Absolutely, Gil, and this is Shaka, and I agree with you, right? Model driven, you customize it by using the directed graphs as well as a different Yang models, right? And that's how you achieve customization, if you will, at the application level by changing the Yang model and the directed graph. Right.
That's one approach, Shaka. It's the next level. You could have common directed graphs that also can look at the model output, and that's what I think is the whole grail.
Before we run out of time,
even jump there, and not to challenge you, but where in the ONAP today, the components that actually do, first, let's start with the low level. The VNF application configurations. If we do know it, let's document that. That way we can close that topic of discussions. And then we can go up to the service level, the network service level, right? Do we have any component today doing it in release 2?
Right, so what are the atoms of the list?
Finally, the service level. Right.
So we're starting bottom up is what you want to do. Start with the atoms and then figure out how we combine them together in various ways.
Exactly. But from ETSI modeling, they carve themselves out, or they set a clear line not to touch any application related configurations or management, because that's very specific vertical. And I mean, from a 3GPP network to broadband network to the math forum, carry Ethernet, they all have different application configurations. And not to step on someone else model driven or model design, that leave that organization to design. Now, ONAP is a little bit different. ONAP is the open source community. If ONAP is trying to serve the community of 3GPP to do 3GPP type of application, then ONAP have to provide those codes and those functionality. Then you have to pull the specs. I know in 3GPP they do have those specs.
But there has to be separation though between orchestrating the VNF or the service versus configuring that VNF or that service.
Correct.
There has to be a clear separation between the two. The two are not
same. I think it's correct.
Orchestration has an installation step for software and then the configuration step.
That's
and
right.
Distinct and separate.
That's
sorry,
right.
Guys. Have to, I need to stop the discussion here. We are.
I just want to make one last comment. Sorry, I want to make a comment regarding Jesse's presentation. Jesse, and I don't need an answer right now, but just take it into consideration.
Yes.
Have we considered how to address future changes in the data model
in
to
the
make sure that we, like, as we, you know, I looked at the, you know, and I would look at it in great detail. And it seems to be that the data model is very comprehensive. But assume that in future releases, we need to add data elements or we need to add classes and so on and so forth. Are we taking into consideration how to make that model backward and forward compatible without impacting the all of the ONAP components?
I personally did not take that into consideration. I was just trying to correct the network service descriptor model that was found on the clean page.
Okay. I think that's something that
with IFA14 correctly.
Okay. I think that's something as a team we need to take into consideration as we work through these proposals.
Right. So I suggest we do the same thing for the network service descriptor model here. So we
absolutely
have 1 week time for review, and please leave your comments on the wiki page. It seems we have a bigger problem here. So
Before you start the review, may I ask Jesse to upgrade her document up to IFA 244? Because yours is right now 243. That would be very beneficial. That way we don't have to go back and do the bug fix or upgrade again. This is the first time. So I would
say 244 or 245. Is there an IFA 14245?
I can check it to confirm with you, but if we could just agree here that we should use the latest IFA 14 publication 251 editions, but they already approve it, and they in the process of the final publications. I just need to know what the version is, and I could get the link for you.
Okay.
All right, so I think that's all for today. Thank you for joining and see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.